Now, there's a fascinating book, and I say fascinating because I've been reading it on and off now for weeks, and can't tear myself away from it. It's called Can Any Mother Help Me? It's by Jenna Bailey. It's a most interesting book, and Jenna, a very interesting person for even thinking about it. Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you.
Can Any Mother Help Me? Tell me how this all started. You were in a library somewhere.
Yeah, I was in the Mass Observation Archive at the University of Sussex, yeah. And I was looking for a topic for my master's thesis, and I heard someone mention this unusual collection of women's writing, and I asked if I could take a look, and I did and was fascinated, so I've now turned it into a book.
And it turned out to be a secret magazine.
Yeah, what it is it's a correspondence magazine. So a group of women got together in 1936 after one woman wrote a letter to a motherhood magazine called The Nursery World, and she said, "Can any mother help me? I'm a struggling mother. I'm lonely. I'm bored. Can anyone suggest an activity for me?" And several mothers wrote back to this magazine saying, "I'm in the same situation. Perhaps we could correspond." So many women wrote back that what they started to do was they decided to have a group letter writing format. So the way it worked is everyone wrote an article, mailed it to the editor. The editor compiled and bound the articles together and hand-stitched them in a linen cover. So there was one copy of each edition of the magazine. And these women, strangers living all over the UK, they were all mothers, they did this twice a month from 1936 till 1990.
Absolutely amazing. And the picture it paints really is of the daily minutiae of women's lives through the ages, I mean through the century, and give some examples of the women who started off doing this secret magazine. I mean they were women, often educated women, who'd had to give up any hope of a career at all on getting married.
Yeah, a lot of these women were in Brighton, as you said, university graduates. I don't know off the top of my head, one of them is Ad Astra. Sorry, they wrote under pseudonyms, and that's her pseudonym. Mm. She was the editor of the magazine. And at the time in the 1930s, there were marriage bars, which meant a lot of professions. Once you were married, you weren't allowed to work as a woman. And she was one of them. Teachers fell under that. And she loved her career as a teacher and was desperate to maintain it. And actually stayed engaged to her husband for 3 years, which was quite a long time in those days, just to prolong her career. And then eventually she did give it up. And a lot of them were in that situation and were really disappointed and sort of lacking that sort of stimulation in their lives as a result.
And they were really very young to be so disappointed. I mean, they were young mothers who'd already had to give up their career. So already they'd seen a way into a different world, but had to leave it behind in order to get married, which was supposed to be the happy ending, was fed to all of us, including me, and that was 1984 or whatever it was, as the happy ending. You know, you get wafted off by the knight on the white charger and you live happily ever after, end of, only it isn't. It's actually the beginning. And they were struggling with the beginning of what was like any other drudge's domestic life, really. Some of them had a little bit more money than others, but most of them found it tough going, didn't they?
Yeah, they did find it tough going. And I think that some of them really enjoyed being married and enjoyed being mothers, but it was just that they also wanted something more. And so that was the point of the magazine, is though even though they were all mothers, they kind of agreed that the magazine would be for something else, to bring something else into their life. So it was more for intellectual stimulation, and they wrote a lot about politics and religion and literature and really debated, and it was very feisty and very dynamic because they needed that other thing in their lives.
And obviously this was being written through the war, where many of the men folk had disappeared off to the army or to the armed forces, and lots of these women were in various places being evacuated or having taken their families to somewhere they thought would be safer, miles from anyone they knew, miles from any communication, miles from the men they were supposed to be in love with, just lonely as hell and schlepping through the most, to me it seems like the most ghastly lives. So when Jenna arrived in the studio, I said to her, my God, they had it so tough. And you said you didn't see it quite that way.
Well, I do think they had it tough, but I also think like it's a really positive story, and a lot of them really celebrated their lives and had wonderful lives. And it wasn't all dire. I mean, there were hard moments, definitely, and there was loneliness and isolation, but this was also just a huge celebration of friendship and of togetherness, and this I think helped really make their lives really positive. And some of them had wonderful lives their whole lives, and this was just an added bonus, something really special for them. But I think you made a really good point about the war, because that was the time when this magazine became really essential for them, and that's when these women became a really strong bond between them, because, as you said, they were moving around and sending their children to be billeted around, and the one thing that was constant during the war was this magazine coming in to post to them, and really it was a really source of support and strength for them.
And did you go and meet some of the original women?
Yeah, I've met four of them, and I've spent a lot of time with one of them in particular, who's Rose. She's Electra in the book, and she just turned 101 on 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And she's amazing. I mean, she's so dynamic and interesting and wonderful and insightful. And, I mean, you can imagine she has so many interesting things to say and stories.
And what does she say? I mean, what is the story of Rose's life?
It's so long, I can't even remember it all. But Rose was many things. She was a counselor for the Greater London County Council. Mm-hmm. She was a marriage guidance counselor. She started off when they started off just in the war. She's a mother. She has two sons, and they're both still around, and they live quite close to her, so she spends a lot of time with her family. Mm-hmm. And now she's really into exploring feminism and art, and she does Tai Chi. And right now she's a journalist for the Camden New Journal and writes a fortnightly column for them. So
and she's 101?
Yeah.
Oh, God willing, we all live to be just like Rose. How amazing. Now, studying these women's lives, I mean, you see, I was caught up in, I suppose, the idea of their loneliness, their isolation, and the fact that they had so many dashed dreams and hopes that they couldn't pursue their careers, and they were stuck always with children with an ear infection or something. There's always an ear infection or mumps or something like that, measles, and they're always battling through trying to make soup out of nothing but a lamb shank and all that kind of palaver. But I wonder what your conclusion is. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Yeah. Do you think it was better to be 26 now or better to have been 26 then?
I'd like to think now, because I think that we have a lot more a lot more freedom, a lot more independence, and sort of I feel like the world is my oyster right now anyways, and I can do a lot of things. And I know exactly, as you said, these women were young mothers, and I can think of one of the women writing at 24 saying, you know, that she really had her first child out of boredom because she didn't have any other option. And I can't imagine how having to be in that situation. So I think it is definitely probably better to be 26
and
now.
And also, you know, not just boredom, but lack of decent contraception for a start. I mean, the options, the choices that women have now are just a completely different level of choice from the choices that they supposedly had then, which were very few. We'd essentially get married and get on with it. Really.
Yeah,
otherwise,
right.
Otherwise, you know, probrium would fall upon your head. So just watch out. You know, if you didn't like it, pretend you did, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what we're getting today from people calling in about their mothers and saying, you know, life was unbelievably tough, but you just can't, you know, put up and shut up because that's what people did. They didn't, I suppose, do you think a very big difference in expectations?
I suspect so. I mean, obviously, I can't put myself in someone else's shoes, but I would imagine that they didn't have the choices we have, so there wasn't the expectation as well. Yeah, I think it's a good point.
I mean, we expect, for example, you know, tremendous athletic sexual fulfillment almost every night of the week. At least I certainly do. Do they ever talk candidly about their sex lives in this?
Yeah, they are quite candid about sex in this. There's not a lot of it, but more than I would have imagined, and they're very open about it. And they do. They talk about birth control and sex in their lives and just that part of their lives, and which was quite a surprise to me given the years that they were. I mean, this is in the 30s when it was still quite a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm. But they weren't talking about it in Cosmo Girl style, were they, about position 73?
No, it's not explicit. It's just more sharing as you would with a friend or something like
and
that.
Saying what, that it was difficult, that they enjoyed it, or what?
Just, I mean, they're not very explicit. It's just talking about how they think that it's good to talk about sex and to talk about to share your experiences with other people to help learn.
Okay. The book is called Can Any Mother Help? And it's compiled by my guest, Jenna Bailey. And it's published by, who's it published by?
Faber and Faber.
Faber and Faber. Faber at $16.99. In fact, your own mother, I mean, I think it would be a fantastic present for Mother's Day, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
100%.
I think it's wonderful. It's a celebration of women. It's a celebration of mothers, showing really, the sacrifices they make and the lives they have, and showing them really as people as well as mothers.
Absolutely. We've got a copy here to give away for Mother's Day, so we'll add that to our list of prizes. Jenna, thank you very much
indeed
for coming in. And here's Jamelia with No More.